Hey everyone, welcome to the Fringe Podcast with Jay and Jack. My name is Jay.
And I'm Claire.
And welcome to the show. How you doing, Jack?
Doing outstanding.
We have a unique situation at our feet, whatever. So there's no new Fringe next week, so I think Jack and I decided we're going to kind of split it up into two different shows this week. And this will be more initial reaction, and next week will be a bit more traditional with listener feedback and Jack's crackpot theory of the week. So
yeah, I'm holding my crackpot, even though I do have one.
So hopefully this will give it more time to develop, and hopefully be a better crackpot theory, because they've been a little bit subpar.
This one is spot. Hey, have I been proven wrong on any crackpot theory yet?
It's too early.
Have I been proven? Officer, answer the question. Have I been proven wrong on any crackpot? No.
That's debatable.
I think my next one's Johnny on the spot.
That's what you say about every single one. They never are.
But this one, it's like money. It's like if I told you to take this to the bank and cash it, well, they'd probably hold it for a few days. But then you could cash it. Then you'd be okay. But this one is spot on.
I don't know.
Spot on money.
I guess we'll see next week.
And everybody likes money.
That all depends.
But now, it could have a Nixon. Was it a Richard Nixon on your $20 bill?
Yeah.
it could be that kind of spot on money.
Then it's a phony, is basically what you're saying.
Well, not in over here it is, but over there. Nixon's a hero, I guess. At $20. He's good for $20.
Well, he made different life choices, so.
Yeah. He wasn't paranoid.
Oh, he was paranoid. He just made better choices.
He just admitted, oh, yeah, they were recording something. Yeah, they broke in. It was cool. Oh, well. Oh, what are you going to do? Poor guy.
Yeah. So, anyway, we had a new episode of Fringe, and it was a very good episode.
I've seen some people who have not liked it. Some people thought it was great. Some people hated it. Some people don't like the direction the season's going. Some people love the direction it's going. I'm just going with the flow.
Honestly, like, I see both sides. Like, really, I can see where people would be frustrated with the episode.
Are they stalling? Or are they kind of just dragging it out a little bit, maybe?
I don't know. Like, it's... Like, I'm enjoying it.
Yeah.
But I think I'm coming from a different perspective. Like, if I was... I don't know. If I was, like, a... Fringe was my everything, and I got super duper invested into the storyline they were doing. I could see where I would be frustrated with how things are being portrayed, but I'm enjoying the storyline. But I can see the other people's side, like their opinions of it.
I think for me, it's been easier because I'm doing it a different way than when I watched Lost.
Yeah,
I'm watching it first as just watching it, and the second time I watch it, I take notes.
Mm-hmm.
So with Lost, I took notes every time I watched it. I don't think I ever watched an episode, except maybe the final one when I was on a plane and I watched it on the plane. But most of the time, 99% of the time I watch Lost, I've had to take notes.
Mm-hmm.
It's more enjoyable to sit there and watch it first.
Yeah.
And then take the notes.
Mm-hmm. Which, yeah, I do enjoy the way we do this podcast. And maybe that's just why it's been a more relaxed experience, I guess. And that's why I'm enjoying it more, I think, from that perspective.
Well, it's not that rush because, you know, with the schedule we had before, we had to do it the day of, and, you know, there were so many people that wanted to hear it the day of. This one's just easier. Mm-hmm. I like that. I don't know.
Yeah.
Less stress.
Yeah. But the overall kind of subject of this episode is Olivia's kind of haunted by this bluish apparition.
Yeah, some kind of energy force enters Olivia's room.
And they think it's this Subject 9.
Yeah.
Who is one of Walter's Cortexafan subjects.
But did you notice Olivia had butterflies hanging out? She had, like, butterflies hanging on her wall?
Yeah. Yeah, I think Colleen noticed that. She's like, look, it's butterflies.
Yeah, I noticed it was butterflies.
Whatchamacallit, glyphs.
I didn't like her curtains.
Okay.
I don't know if that matters. I was like, really? Those curtains just weren't working for me.
Mm-hmm.
Could have done something different with the curtains.
Yeah. But then Olivia goes to Walter to see if he can help, and he comes with a pretty sweet camera solution.
Yeah, the peanut test. Oh, we didn't talk about the delay on the clock.
Oh, what was the delay on the clock?
Well, there was a delay, like a 10-second delay on the clock from reality to, like, the clock struck 6, but then it goes back and strikes 6 again. And we also, we'll find out later on, but yeah, we did forget about that, because the clock strikes 6, and then when she gets pushed in the corner, the clock strikes 6 again.
So something's going down, for sure.
Right.
But yeah, so they go through, and it's kind of this chase to find this Subject 9 character. But then eventually when they do find him, you know, they realize that he actually isn't this blue apparition.
No.
So then Walter devises a plan to use Subject 9's electromagnetic abilities to, I guess, kill or destroy this blue ghost or this astral projection.
Well, because they think it's going to do harm to Olivia.
Exactly.
Or is Olivia bringing it on herself?
Aha.
Did we talk about how Walter Treat was acting towards Nina Sharp?
Yeah, doesn't like her.
Doesn't, it's like completely different from what, I mean, they were buddies before.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, Nina Sharp is like Olivia's best friend.
Yeah, which is weird.
It's like they have talks all the time. Oh, you know, when you had this and that. You know, it's completely different than.
Did you notice, like, Olivia, like, she was very, like, a different relationship with Walter. You know, it wasn't as, you know, they had their differences on her being a Cortexophane subject, but she almost seemed cool with it.
Yeah. It's a whole different outlook, but I did notice, I go, God, I know before Walter was always, and Nina always had a really good relationship.
Yeah.
Now they hate each other. Because
mm-hmm.
Astrid wouldn't tell him what he was actually saying. Tell her what I said. Tell her what I said.
So why do you think there is
because
the animosity?
Maybe because he went back and took Peter and brought Peter back, and Peter dies. So, but that's maybe that's where Nina and Walter have that friction.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, because we know she was there, right? That's how she loses her, you know, she goes back, and I'm trying to remember all my timelines here, but
but her arm did seem to still be robotic in this timeline.
Right. So I would think that that's probably, or maybe there's just friction between her, William, you know, he still speaks highly of William Bell.
Mm-hmm.
So that's not, that hasn't changed, but there's something definitely between, but I thought it was also odd, going back to Nina and Olivia, it's like they were like best buddies.
Mm-hmm.
Like they always had a good professional relationship, I believe, where Olivia was always a little skeptical of Nina Sharp, especially in the beginning.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's
yes,
like, she,
yeah, there was a bit of a,
you know,
battle between the two for sure.
Right. But now it's like, you know, when I was telling you this and that, and you know, we had lunch, and I'm just making that part up.
Yeah, but there was that, like, buddy-buddy kind of thing.
Exactly. And also, Walter didn't like hearing about the past experimenting on the kids. He didn't like that at all.
No.
That's because he was listening to Olivia and Astrid.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, turn it off, can't listen to it anymore. Hmm. Poor Walter.
Poor Walter.
But that's all I got on the Nina Sharp thing. I just thought it was, I just like, wow, that's weird.
Yeah, definitely was. So then they kind of come to this crossroads of trying to kill this astral projection. But then Olivia starts to see pretty much the figure of Peter and realizes who it is. Kind of uses, kind of diverts Subject 9's to destroy him.
Cameron James was the name he was.
Yeah.
Well, he was using his dad's name.
Well, not his dad's name.
Not his dad's name, that's right.
Yeah. Then kind of pushes him away, the astral projection, and then it actually shows Peter falling into Reedon Lake, I believe it's called?
It is Reedon Lake.
And Peter is then brought into this reality. And Observer is there. It's not, is it December or September?
I don't think it's September, no.
It's not the one that's kind of been overseeing his whole removal from this timeline.
Well, we didn't see his face, though, did we?
No, we didn't see it. But from the back of the head, it wasn't the same shape that we're used to seeing.
It didn't look like him, no.
Yeah. And then that cuts to commercial break, but then we come back and Olivia meets Peter, but she has no idea who he is. But Peter is definitely the same Peter from the blue-red timelines.
Well, because Broyles tells Olivia, we have a problem with this guy. We found this guy in a lake, and he knows
everything.
He knows everything. Really? Let me go talk to him. Olivia, how you doing? Do I know you? I'm going to go ask my good friend Nina Sharp. I don't know you. So it was interesting. There was a lot of parts. So I thought when we were standing outside Cameron James' apartment, Walter says it's nearly 6. 6 o'clock. That's what time it started the first time.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know if that had something, a clue. I wrote it down. And he got smooth talk, and Walter gets the info out of the lady.
Yep.
Hello.
He also tears up a hotel room, too.
Yeah. Well, what shocked me about the hotel room, I've stayed in a lot of hotels. It's a $200 a night hotel. It's not top. It's not your most expensive hotel, but
how many? $200?
I mean, it's an upper scale hotel.
That's a lot of money, man.
It's an upper scale hotel, but do they have ice machines in the $200 right in the lobby?
They should. $200?
In the walkway?
Yeah.
Just outside the room? Who wants to stay outside a room with an ice machine? Cold.
I mean, I guess, well, someone is a... there has to be a room somewhere that is close to a ice machine.
I get it, but most ice machines have their own little section. This was right in the hallway.
So you're saying this wasn't worth $200 a night? It's kind of what you're getting at.
Just because the ice machine.
Gotcha.
It had the cool remote control for the blinds and stuff like that. But I think if you took a black light to most hotels, you wouldn't want to go to sleep. You wouldn't want to see the floors, and you wouldn't want to see the beds and stuff like that. I'm not trying to freak anyone out that's been to a hotel. But, yeah, you wouldn't want to. I agree with Walter. And it was his first time out in 3 years. First time walking out of the lab in 3 years.
Which is nice.
Yeah, well, I think that's significant that he's been locked up for 3 years in that not locked.
I guess is it a self-imposed lockup?
Well, it is.
Yeah, so it's not like where we thought maybe that for some reason he was forced to stay.
Well, he said he came out to protect Olivia,
mm-hmm.
but it was more to protect himself because he had to show Olivia that he was capable. You know, because he found the letter.
Yeah.
Recommendation letter, and he doesn't want to go back.
Yeah.
So he was, I think it was more about him saying
self-preservation.
Right. So, but it could have been, but he really wasn't doing anything to save Olivia.
No.
No. When things start happening, he was ducked in the corner, you know. What about the root beer float? Is he correct about root beer
float? Oh, absolutely.
Where you put the straw all the way down and
well, no, you put it through the ice cream.
Ice cream, yeah.
And then to the bottom, so then you get a bit of both. Oh, that's absolutely correct. What I really like is when you can go to Wendy's and get a frosty float.
Yeah.
Make it with Dr. Pepper.
Mm. I don't like Dr. Pepper.
Oh, well, because you're lame. So, Peter is back.
Yes.
What do you think is happening now? What do you think is going to happen? Because it seems like this is a pretty big deal.
Well, it's part of my crackpot theory, so I think I'll wait on that since we're going to wait.
Okay.
I'm just saying. But it's obviously a big deal. And did you see it coming?
Well,
you knew the whole time that was Peter?
It had to have. You know, it's like one of those things, like, that has to be Peter.
I wasn't till the midway through.
Really? I to me, it almost seemed blatantly obvious.
I just was like going, well, because it seemed like it was, you know, it was drawing all the metal and stuff like that, and she was in the bathroom, and there was another delay there, because Walter actually heard it first, what was going on, before it actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
You remember that? When Astrid is telling him what's going on, he hears everything before it happens.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was kind of caught off guard at first, and then about halfway through, I go, okay, this guy's Peter.
Yeah, but, to me, I thought it was almost obvious.
And I got a thing here. I'm just throwing it out here. I don't know this for a fact. But could the observers be working with Walternet?
What about Walternet?
Could the observers be working for Walternet and his side?
No. I wouldn't like that at all.
I'm throwing it out there for conversation. I'm just throwing it out there.
No.
You would hate that if that was the case.
I think so.
So you think the observers are neutral?
They have to be. I think they're neutral. They're a neutral presence.
Because we don't know much about them. Are we ever going to get a backstory on the? I mean, we've gotten a few things.
I hope one day that we will.
I mean, why did they eat such spicy hot food? Just to have some? Maybe they don't have any taste. Their taste buds don't work on the.
That's what I think it would be.
So they have to have it all spicy and hot and.
Mm-hmm.
Would you like a backstory this year on the observers?
Nah, I think it'd be something that kind of turns the tables and makes things interesting.
Maybe find out their origin, where they came from, how they started.
Yeah.
Will we get it?
I think we have to, hopefully. I mean, I would hope we do.
Will we find out
before the show's over?
Would you be upset if that didn't happen?
No. Again, I'm not going this the lost route, you know. I'm kind of along for the ride and, you know, enjoying and seeing what happens.
Do you think there's fringe? Let me ask the fringe crazy people out there, crazy fringe fans out there. Would you be upset if you didn't find out a backstory or more information about the observers? I'm talking about the people that have been watching this show from day one and, you know, on message boards and podcasts and, you know, watch it 18 times each. You know, like crazy Lost fans. Is it a deal breaker? But I'm not asking you. I'm asking the listeners.
Okay.
I don't think anyone cares what you have to say.
Generally, they don't.
No. But that was just a couple questions I had. Oh, and Cameron doesn't like Raisin Toast.
I mean, who does? Let's be honest.
Yeah, I'm not a fan.
Raisin Toast is gross.
Cinnamon Raisin Toast isn't bad. You ever had cinnamon Raisin Toast?
Mm-mm.
No, it's not bad. It's not bad at all.
All right, so anything else you want to add for this episode, Jack?
That's all I got.
All right, then. So that is it for this initial reaction Fringe podcast. Check in for our next week's Fringe podcast, where we'll do listener feedback and the Crackpot Theory of the Week. And that'll complete our two-week Fringe series here as we prepare for an episode where Peter is back for the full episode. It's going to be crazy.
Peter. And we didn't see Lincoln.
No, that's right. I didn't even think about that.
Suddenly Peter's back and there's no need for Lincoln.
I think they have to bring it. It's going to be a little bit more. There needs to be a bit of tension between. Well,
he's got to die once him and Olivia go out on a date that he's going to die. Maybe Peter will kill him. Maybe this guy's a shapeshifter.
Maybe. I guess we'll see. I guess we'll find out.
I can't wait. Why are they off a week? Is it the World Series?
Yeah, World Series is next week.
Okay. All right.
Starting Wednesday, I believe.
Yeah, starting this Wednesday.
So we'll see you guys next week on the Fringe Podcast. You can give us a call at 206-309-0311.
Call any time.
Okay, it's
206-309-0311.
Call any time with your Fringe questions, comments, and or theories. You have a whole nother week to add for our special listener feedback and Crackpot Theory edition of the Fringe Podcast for next week. So please do call in or send your emails to thefringecast@gmail.com. So that's thefringecast@gmail.com. All right, so we'll see you guys next time. Hasta luego, and goodbye.
Bye.